Welcome to the Spacious Unknowing Network, sunshine for your soul,
with Julio
and Jojo Rose.
We invite you to enter into ecological equanimity in the unified field of spacious unknowing.
We open and awaken to broaden your access to the soul rhythm in all of us.
We engage in the pilgrimage inward to feel the infinite love that beats in the rhythm of our collective soul.
We will guide you to new horizons and infinite love during our Inquire Within segment
to accept that you create your field.
I create my field.
And together, we create the unified field. Spacious Unknowing Network
with Julio
and Jojo Rose
starts now.
Aloha and welcome to Spacious Unknowing Network, sunshine for your soul. I'm Jojo Rose. Today is my sacred trust in the truth. I'm here with Julie O. Rose, and today, well, she is actually, she's founder of Spacious Unknowing Network, and author of her forthcoming book, Autobiography of a Mystical, Masterful Mother. Julie O. Rose, what is Spacious Unknowing Network?
Well, you want the long or the short story?
You can do the long. That works.
Okay. Well, Spacious Unknowing Network was, I was born like with it inside of me. So when I was born, the breath of life animated my developed soul with spacious. I mean, yeah, right.
Yes,
spacious unknowing, yes.
Along with
spiritual acuity, emotional stability, mental clarity, and with my psychological life intact. So that was something that I had to play out through my life. And that meant that the sacred passage inside was the knowing that arrived from spacious unknowing.
Okay.
Then when I grounded it in a ritual on the earth, it became truth that I was walking in the truth of why I came. So with the first big change in my life, well, at my birth, my mother had a vision of Saint Teresa, the little flower, and she, I was in her arms in bed, you know, we were in a hospital bed, and my mother saw her and was really had a lot of peace from Saint Teresa's eyes, but then she doubted that she had seen her. A nurse walked in the room about the time she started doubting, and the nurse said, "Oh, where are your roses?" She's looking around the room, and she walked closer. As she walked closer, she saw there was a long-stemmed rose at the foot of my mother's bed, and she picked it up, and the fragrance was so big. According to her, and my mother immediately didn't doubt anymore that it had really happened.
Yes.
And so it was a beautiful red rose.
Yeah.
And when we went home, my mother was very ill. And so it was difficult for her to take care of me. My older brother was, let's see, he was 2 years older than me.
Okay.
So he was still young, but, and then my sister is 4 years older than me, Shirley. And then Janine was 10 years older than me.
Wow.
So I was at home, and I'm sure my older sister helped. And then when I was about 9 months old, my father and my older sister, Janine, wanted to take me to my grandmother's, his mother and father's home, because it was really too much for my mother. And my mother was very, very reluctant to let me go because she knew things that certainly I didn't know at that time. And so finally, she said, okay, just for the weekend. It was when I was 9 months. So I went for the weekend, and when my father brought me back, I had a rash all over my body.
Oh, boy.
And my mother immediately knew what had happened, because I think I said it in another talk on this, that on Saturday night in where I lived in Maine, the dinner was the same in every household. And it was baked beans that were made fresh in a bean pot in the oven. Each of the families had their own recipe. And hot dogs, which were chain linked, and they were quite different from the hot dogs today. And then brown bread. And so that was a meal. And my grandmother used a lot more spice than my mother did. And so she had fed me beans. So I'm sure I loved it.
I'm sure you did too.
So when that was made my mother certain, you know, that I couldn't go back there. But when I was a year old, my father and my sister again said, you know, we really need to bring her and let them take care of her. And so my mother relented, because she really couldn't do it. And so they took me there. And so I was there for 2 years. And every morning, you know, I was with my grandmother because she was at home, and so was I. And the other, her daughters were in school, and my grandfather was at work. So I loved being sitting beside her, because she was always so peaceful, and it was wonderful. And I was still a baby, but I was in a high chair, and, you know, I would be with her.
Yes.
And then as I got older, of course, I sat beside her on a chair and watched her as she made these wonderful date tarts, did the rolling out of the dough, and and sometimes she used figs. And it was always similar. I guess that's why I love both of them still to this day.
Yes.
And so when my grandfather came home, he would take me for ice cream. And I was fed so many odd and strange foods, as well as a lot of candy, a lot of sweets. And I weighed 40 pounds when I was two. So it was totally, you know, it was an extreme household. They had a lot of my grandfather and my uncle, and sometimes my father was there too, would argue about the war. It was World War II when I was born. So there was a lot on the news of the war and the Nazis, and it just was you know, a common way of talking in the dining room at night when I went to bed.
Yeah.
So I slept on a cedar chest in my grandparents' bedroom. My grandmother had made it so nice with colorful blankets, and under me the pad, the cedar chest, and then some sheets and covers over me. And so I loved it. I loved being in there. It was a warm and cozy little bed. And so when my so it came to the day, it was closer to my three-year-old self, and I began to have nightmares of Nazis taking me, and I was kicking and screaming, and I woke myself up. And I didn't want to go back to sleep. So I'm not sure what I did or how. I'm sure it affected the whole household, but I don't remember that part.
Yeah.
And then the second night, same, you know, they came after me and I was screaming and woke myself up. Then the third night, I just had made a resolve and I was ready. And when they came, I said, I'd rather die than be taken as a prisoner. And I woke up. And the next day when I got up, my grandmother was packing my bag and my father came to pick me up. So when I was, before the nightmares, I knew I was in danger in that home.
Okay.
That it was arising in me that I was in danger. And when I, that after I knew that I'd rather die than be taken prisoner, that was the ritual that put me here, landed me on earth, because I had an inner passageway from spacious unknowing that I was born with, and I needed that inner awareness. But then I had to have a ritual to ground it and land it here on earth. So I'm here. So my spiritual acuity was the first one that I came in with. And that was what this was. I had to be grounded in a spiritual acuteness of why I was here. And so the next one was when my I was going to make my Holy Communion, and my I had a rehearsal, and I was the only one in the family who needed to go to church. So I went to the bus stop to wait for the bus, and I decided to sit on some steps of a business that was there was a canopy, and it was just kind of nice while I was waiting for the bus. Usually I was with my brothers and my brother and sister, but this time I was alone. And I was six. Yeah, I was six. It was before I made my first communion. Anyway, I the woman who apparently was the owner of the business came out and said, "What's your name?" And I told her. And she said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "I'm waiting for the bus. I'm going for a rehearsal for my first communion." And she said, "What's your father's name?" And I said it, and she just turned on her heel and walked back into the place. And I felt so like she was a judge, a jury, and an executioner all in one fell swoop. And like I was, my whole being was like hollowed out. It
took
was
your
so
breath away.
Strange. Yeah. And I knew in that moment I would never judge anybody. Oh, it was so deep inside of me. And I went on the bus and went to the, why in the world would you ever have a rehearsal for First Communion? That's what I want to know right now. That's what's coming to me as I'm thinking, what in the world? But that was the way things were done. So when I, the next, I think it was
the same night, wasn't it?
No.
Okay.
It was later because I had my birthday.
Okay.
So it was after I was seven that I woke up to sounds in the kitchen that were so different, thud and noise and banging. And I ran downstairs and stood in the kitchen watching my dad, who had, to my eyes, dancing hands when he worked his trowel for his making chimneys and, you know, doing that kind of work. I had been privy to go watch him one day. So this man that I loved so dearly with the dancing hands was hurting my mother. And I immediately consciousness opened and I saw them as blameless. And that was in my knowing today, or knowing earlier on, was understanding not to judge people.
Yeah.
That it was my knowing that something was coming was from being with that woman.
Yes.
And having to make that clear to myself.
Yes.
That I would not judge. And then that maybe 2 weeks later, when that happened, that was the grounding, the ritual of me bringing it to earth.
Yes.
So that I would walk in that truth, because knowing brings us truth. And that was really why, with each thing that was creating a foundation for me, I had to know, I had to realize what it was all about,
yeah,
even at that young age. And then when the third one came around, I had preceded it with my grandmother's death.
Okay.
And when she died, I was very, I really did a lot of weeping. And my mother and father, I begged them to take me to the wake, and I did go, but I really was affected, and they were worried about me because I was really crying, and they hadn't seen me do that before. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a crying kind of person. And so they decided that maybe they had made an error, you know, in bringing me there. And I realized what they were doing, and I stopped crying. Mm-hmm. I was crying because I knew that my grandmother had buried herself in her life, and that's why she was being buried in the ground. Mm-hmm. And I knew that wasn't the truth. And so I was very affected by my inner knowing. And I really couldn't say that to my parents.
Right.
But it did help me to understand something that I would need.
Yes.
And so it was a knowing again that I would be using sometime.
Yeah.
When I didn't know, but when my brother Larry, I was 10. And he was 5, and he was, my father and mother had divorced, and there was a scattering of the family. Janine was married and had children, so she was with her husband and children, and my sister Shirley went and took care of her children, Janine's children, while she worked at night.
Yeah.
And so she went to school during the day, mm-hmm, so I rarely saw her anymore, and Don was off. He didn't go to school. He was just going around the neighborhood doing whatever young boys do when they don't have parents. And so Larry was felt abandoned. It was very evident because the whole family left at once. It wasn't just my father. It wasn't my mother. Just my mother, who went and worked two shifts at a hotel that in fine dining. Mm-hmm. So she worked, left the house at 6:30 in the morning, and she came back around 2 or 2:30 in the afternoon, had a little nap, and got ready to go back to work for 5 o'clock.
Wow.
So, you know, she wasn't home much except for her day off, which we loved. And so she wasn't there either, and he had been accustomed to her being home all the time.
Right.
So it was really a huge change.
Huge change in transition.
And for me, it was just what it was. You know, but thankfully I was fine so that I could be with him. And he chased me around the house with a butcher knife, which was really sort of scary because I knew that Larry was a loving person.
Yeah.
And this was him acting out because he didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
He didn't know how to, I guess, understand himself.
Yes.
And so I did understand him. And so I decided, my mother always knew everything, what needed to be done.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I'll talk to her and see what I can do. And I told her, and she said, oh, he'll outgrow it. That surprised me. And then my sister Shirley adored Larry. So I said, Shirley, you know, I told her what was happening. And she said, oh, I have so much on my plate in essence, because she worked and went to school and took care of the children at night. So,
yeah,
you know, she had full life. And so I knew that, okay. So we were walking to school and I knew he was in trouble. I knew that I was the only one who knew it. And I really, he was so adorable. I just loved Larry. And I was really upset in my, I would say I had anguish of soul because I knew that I was the only one who knew. And then I thought, well, I care. I can do something. And immediately I started this roiling up from way down deep inside of me to my heart. And I felt it. I knew I could do something. I didn't know what. Yeah. I really didn't.
Yeah.
But Larry got the feeling because he looked up at me and said, are you okay? With his little freckle face cheeks, you know, and is losing his teeth. And so cute. And so I said, no, I'm fine, you know, and I'm good. And so we continued. He said, I won't come in your classroom anymore. I promise. He was in kindergarten. I was in fifth grade. And he would come visit. Oh, boy. A lot.
Yeah.
More than once a week.
Yes.
And so I understood because I was really the only one with him. And my younger sister, actually, yeah, he played with her. So she was gone, too. She was two or three. Yeah, she was 8 years younger than me. She was two.
Okay.
Anyway, she was with my mother's parents.
Okay.
And so she...
it really was just Larry and
Larry and I. That was it. And so... this is all he had. So when he came to my room, I'm sure he was trying to find out if I was still here.
Of course.
Yeah, because that's what children do.
Yeah.
They're so worried and anxious over what's happening, and they don't really understand what's happening. I mean, even if he was told, you know, it doesn't sink in until nobody's there.
They just know what they feel.
Exactly.
And they just know what they feel, abandoned. And he felt all of that.
So I, when we walked home, well, we went home for lunch always. We walked home from school for lunch and I made lunch for us. And then we walked back to school.
Yeah.
And then after school, we walked home together. And he always played and he was very mischievous. He was very funny. And so... when he went, I made sure, you know, he went to bed and washed, you know, whatever, washed himself and brushed his teeth, you know, all the things you have to do, right?
Yes.
And that night, he had been having nightmares.
Okay.
And he had been walking in his sleep. So besides what happened in the day, he was showing all the signs at night as well of his upset.
Yeah.
And so he started screaming, you know, that there were alligators and frogs and snakes in his bed and screaming. And so I knew, okay, this is it. I know I need to be with him. So I really deliberately walked up each step to get my courage and my resolution up. And when I got to the landing, because it was a landing at the top of the stairs, and there was a step up to get into his bedroom on the left, and there was a step up to get to the girl's bedroom on the right.
Yeah.
And so I was on the landing, and I knew, I did not know what to do.
Yeah,
I was in it, but I didn't have everything I needed to walk into his room. And the light came into my heart. It was electric. It was really electric. I suppose it was magnetic what rose, and this was electric. So the electromagnetic field was available to me for being with him. I needed it.
Yeah.
And so when I went into his room, I just found me yanking back the blankets and sweeping all the snakes and frogs and alligators out of his bed and saying it loud like a man would. I said it in a really deep voice,
yeah,
so that he would feel like his dad or,
yeah,
you know, someone was helping him. And he, and I knew that it needed to just be a real thing to him. Mm-hmm. And then he had tears streaming down his cheeks and sat up in bed. And I gave him a big hug and wiped his tears. And he lied down and I kissed his forehead and went downstairs. And as I'm walking down the stairs, my body's like this from the vibration of what had happened. And I went, oh, I did it. It's all inside of me. It was so potent. And again, you know, it was that I had known with my grandmother a certain mm-hmm. thing that would have been the same in Larry's life, I am certain. But because of the ritual, Larry, no, he's never fallen prey to that. You
yeah.
know, he's yes. really a different kind of person. very different. And so it was a ritual of the knowing and then the bringing the truth to actually activate that mental clarity.
Yeah.
Because when I was on that
the landing.
Landing, it was really, I was aware that I only had half of what I needed. And so I needed something further.
Yeah.
And it was the mental clarity. And that came in and boom, I went right there and did what I had to do. And it worked. And I knew it was a spirit of truth for both of us. I knew it. I knew that we would be bonded forever.
Yeah.
And we are.
Yeah, you
and are. And so that was, again, you know, there was the second one was the emotional stability, because despite what was happening, I didn't get emotional about it. I was given to be in consciousness for what I needed to understand. And I'm certain that it did stop them. So it was really beneficial to me and to the ones with me.
Yes.
Because my grandmother, back at my 3-year-old, I'm sure was ready for me to leave.
Yes.
I'm sure that, you know, that was a lot for her.
Yeah.
With everything else that was in her life. And so I was, and also why I wept with my grandmother was that from the time I left there, I was not allowed to go back.
Okay.
And I didn't know why my mother was so strict about it, because she was not mean. My mother wasn't mean. And I knew she wasn't vengeful. I didn't understand why I couldn't go. So Larry and I snuck to go there after school one day. Because nobody was home. We could go to see my grandmother and then go home.
Yeah.
And my grandmother knew why my mother had made that restriction.
Yes.
And so she said, oh, you two have to go home. Your mom will be looking for you, because
yeah.
she comes home about this time.
Yeah.
And so it's true. She was home and she was worried about us. There were no phones, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
So, yeah.
I think my grandparents had a phone, but we did not. So there's no way. Well, yeah, actually we did. When my mother went to work, she got a phone. But my grandmother would never have called her
right.
to tell her that.
Right.
Yeah. She trusted us to go
yeah.
home right now.
Yes.
And we did. And so we told my mother what we had done. And she scolded us, but we were truthful.
Yeah.
And so that was okay. So again, you know, the inner passageway was the knowing, and then the ritual that landed me on earth with the clarity that I needed, or the emotional stability, or the spiritual acuity. It was all inclusive. So, and it happened every 3 years, seemed like.
So that really was the ground of being. Yes. And the one with Larry is really when you started to become aware, if I remember, of spacious unknowing.
Yes.
And
yes.
That was very
right here.
Yeah.
All of it. I could see how that had to be the, I guess today I would say the origins of
yes.
all of what I was learning.
Yes.
And then with the 12-year-old.
Before we go to the 12-year-old, it's time for a break.
Oh, okay.
So stay with us because you definitely want to hear and listen in for the 12-year-old and in the continuum of what we're speaking on with Spacious Unknowing Network. We'll see you back here in just a moment.
Tune in to No More Rules, The Impact of Being You, the first and third Monday, 8 a.m. Pacific, every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com with hosts Steph Yost and Camille Barreto. And join the movement to awaken your inner power, be the creator of your own healthy life, as they help shift perceptions, encourage thinking outside the box, and overcome limiting behaviors and beliefs. Listen to thought-provoking conversations and visit YourImpactWellness.com to schedule your consultation today.
Are you ready for the real results you want? Don't miss the new show, Why Wait? Look better, feel better, be your best from the inside out with me, Georgette LePage. Join Dr. Pat Basile and me monthly to tackle topics that are often seen as roadblocks to weight loss. Each discussion offers you practical solutions for your transformational changes. Find out more about show dates and times or connect with me directly at georgettelepage.com.
Hi, I'm Patricia McNair, host of Divine Guidance with Patricia, and I'm here to help you live a more authentic, spiritually connected life. Join me every first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Being who you are in everyday life is the key to unlocking soul wisdom within that our whole self already knows. Get ready to embrace your spiritual, mental, and emotional well-being, your whole being. Discover your gifts and strengthen your connection to spirit. We will explore earth guidance, divine truth and love, past life lessons, and so much more. So listen in to Divine Guidance with Patricia and join in your personal adventure to triggering, opening, validating, and being all that you are. For more information about me, visit divineguidance.earth.
Are you wanting more for your life? Are you ready to create your life with confidence and contribution? We all have a gift to give to the world. Becoming you is that gift. In order to truly live your life, you have to become you on purpose and with intention. Leah Rowling supports you in becoming you using the B Method, consistently producing results for hundreds of entrepreneurs and business owners. For more information, visit leahrowling.com.
Aloha and welcome back. You are listening to Spacious Unknowing Network. I'm here with Julie O. Rose, founder of Spacious Unknowing Network and author of her forthcoming book, Autobiography of a Mystical Masterful Mother. So Julie, right before break, you were going to share from when you were 12 years old. So I would love to hear it. And I'm sure our listeners would too.
All right. Well, when I was 12, I was in seventh grade.
Yes.
And that was a huge change because I had been in elementary school and now I was in junior high school. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't one person in my classroom that I knew. Mm-hmm. And we didn't move from room to room. We just stayed in one room.
Okay.
Other than, you know, for gym or whatever else was a art maybe.
Yeah.
And so it was very different because I had lots of friends in elementary school. Wow. And neighbors, and you know, it was fun. And so here I was, like, it was odd and strange for me not to have friendly people around, or, you know, people I knew or got to know, or anything. So, and my brother had had this teacher before me, and she loved Dawn. And so I felt like she looked at me with a jaundiced eye.
Yes.
And wondered where the heck I had come from. And Don's such a handsome guy. And so I definitely was out of my element, I would say. And I couldn't seem to make friends. Mm-hmm. And that was very strange to me. So I, November, we had our photograph taken for a school picture. Or I got it back in November. Maybe they did it in October. And when I saw the picture, I went, ugly. Oh, my goodness. I could see me. I could see that everything I was feeling was right there in that picture. Oh, no. And so I went home and looked in the mirror. I saw the same ugly face. And immediately I started hearing, because by now Diane had come home.
Okay.
She came home because she was starting school early, because she would be five in January and they could be go to school at four.
Okay.
As long as they were five by January.
Okay.
And so so now I had double washing of clothes, and I had ironing added to it because she was a little girl.
Yes.
And so there was a lot more work and care.
Yeah.
And I was lamenting that in my insides, which was not common with me. But I was doing it, and I had to face me. So I faced me in the mirror, and I started hearing me. Mm. I started hearing what I was saying to me. And I realized that, oh, yes, that would create ugliness. Okay, so I'll take care of the rest of this when I go to bed, because right now I have to get dinner for Larry and Diane and me. And so, so I did. And then when I went to bed, I really saw very clearly what I had been doing.
Yeah.
And probably that's why I made no friends. And, you know, it was real clear to me, all of it. And I must have been really very affected by having more on my plate maybe than I wanted to have.
Yes.
And school and homework and you know, always there's all the
and a lot of changes.
Yeah. 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 Change. And in terms of where were my friends?
New school.
Know, they were all in different classrooms. So spread out, and I didn't get to see them because we weren't going on the same bus, nothing.
Okay.
So it was all different. Anyway, no excuses.
No.
I realized that I needed to do something to change all of this. Mm-hmm. So when I walked out the door the next morning, my mother had already a big snowstorm. My mother had already shovel the whole walk, and what a woman. I mean, just really amazing. And and I walked out the door, and it was really cold out, and there were snow drifts everywhere, but the plows came very early and they were very good. All the roads were cleared by the time I went to the bus to go to school. And so I just started singing at the top of my lungs. And I really knew that I needed to be a pollution-free zone. And that was real clear to me, because I had allowed pollution to come into me from my own silliness, my own, you know, upset. And I realized that that is not a happy life.
Mm-mm.
And so I was grounding it, you know, with the singing, and then just really, really knowing that I could do this.
Mm-hmm.
I could really do this. It was okay.
Yeah.
So I went to school, and I was singing all the way down the hallway because it was early. Most kids weren't at school yet when I was taken there. And other than the ones that were on the bus with me. And so, yeah, I was changing it.
Yes.
Well, that day I got an invitation to a party.
Wow.
And that was, wow. Yeah, wow.
Wow.
And just so many things began to happen. Mrs. Mingo, the teacher, asked me to come up front of the class to read my paper that I had written. And I did. It was about me getting a job. What would I give them as my ability to perform this job? And so I did. And somehow from me reading it, all the kids in the class wanted to find out about it. Some really wanted to ask me questions. How did I really know how to do all those things? And I did. But I didn't think about it because that was my life.
Yeah.
And that's the life I knew.
Yeah.
And obviously the ones who asked me didn't know that life. And so that was that. And it was a grounding. It was a landing here with the psychological life intact, where I really, it was a combining of the spiritual acuity, emotional stability,
yes.
Mental clarity, and the psychological life intact. So I had to be with that, almost like to bring it all together when I saw me the way I did and heard me the way I had made me that way. And everything changed. I mean, in one day, it all changed. And that seemed to be very common to living in spacious unknowing. And I didn't know at that time it was a whole network in my whole body that most people call systems.
Yes.
And it's also a network. And I see that so clearly. And so it is a network. And spacious unknowing network became the fullness of what I came to understand.
Yes.
So I think most people know about fractals. The best ones I know to say to somebody what they look like would be when a tree is stripped in the fall of its leaves, the way that the tree is, it's all fractals. You can see the fractals all over the branches and twigs and all of it. And that's fractals are everywhere in nature and inside of us. And so what I realized today is how much of a these four stories are the foundation of spacious unknowing network.
Yes.
And we worked with that this morning.
Yes, we did.
And realized that this is really what creates it. Anybody can come into this and recreate their life, regenerate their life. And that the order of it is so orderly. And that's what you've been in for 3 years.
Yes, I have.
And totally changed your life. And it depends on the person, how long it takes.
Yeah.
Some it's shorter, some it's longer.
Yeah.
But it works. It always works.
It does always work.
And that's
work.
What I've learned. And I had to have a background of watching it learn. Fractals are interesting because they repeat. The pattern repeats. Not the same way. It's always a different feel to it. But it's always has that foundation in it.
Yes.
That four steadying ways to live in spacious unknowing network that are it's always the same in that regard, but it's different, of course, from the life that unfolds and what it shows to us, whomever we are, where we are, and we have the ability to be present for whatever has shown up because we have a good foundation for it.
Yes.
And that's why I know how important the inner passageway is And to, that's where the knowing will show up.
Yes.
Of what something that we don't even yet possibly realize we're going to be faced with. Mm. But that knowing shows up.
Yeah,
and then
does.
There is a ritual of grounding it. And it's our ground of being that is grounded so that we are here fully embodied, fully awake and aware. And I am not the only child who ever was born this way.
No.
I have known many. And you children, each, when you reached a certain age with the love that was in our family, began to share truth with me.
Yes.
And it was so profoundly beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. It was just so touching and wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I valued each of you and what you shared with me. And I know that you spoke of the base chakra. Do you remember?
A little bit.
Yeah.
That we had a code in our base chakra.
Yeah. And you did, we didn't know the word chakra then.
No.
They were all alive and inside of us, and we felt the movement, and we dressed colorfully and knew that we were, you know, we love color. We loved color very much. And so it showed up in our clothing, but we didn't know the word chakra, but we lived in it. And Jay and Matt would tell me about all the vortices that were in us, the little ones, the big ones.
Yes.
And they were very clear with me. I mean, it's like they could see everything very well, very clearly. And it was such a joy to have such help, because although I lived the way I lived, there was additional learning to be had always. And I knew that. And I value that you children were such gifts that way to me. And I just really loved being a mother because it was mystical and it was masterful, because I had to use everything that I knew to be present with each of you every day. It was a joy to me. My favorite, you know, that to me was my career. Because I loved being a mother. The reason is because every day was different and I never knew exactly what was going to turn up. But I had become accustomed to that with Larry and Diane.
Yes.
So people would say to me, how do you know what you know to be with your children? And I'd say, well, this is my second family. And it was true.
Yeah,
I did learn so much. With Larry and Diane and working, I worked and I went to school and, you know, all of it. And I learned a lot about all of it. So
again, it's a repeated pattern.
It is. And it was. Okay. And yet the repeat was very different from the first time, because it always is.
Yep.
And each time that foundation is always steady and sure and true inside of me. And definitely it was used consistently throughout my life till this day, and it works. It always works, and it works not only for me, but it's worked for many others who have been in it with me. And that's the joy too of being in this life. And I don't talk as much about that as I could, but maybe I'll start.
That would be wonderful.
It's really a pretty wonderful life.
It is a wonderful life. And I'm thankful to be here with you and to be learning and understanding Spacious Unknowing Network and opening up in a way that allows the knowing to come. And then you're right. There is the necessity to ground it on the earth or have it come in practical application.
Yeah.
Without that, it's not as full as it needs to be.
It isn't full at all, Jojo.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, when people just live inside and they isolate themselves
that way,
and they feel separated from everyone and feel separate inside, it's a very hard life.
It is.
And it's a struggle life.
Yeah.
And so there are ways to come out of that. And there are some that are... you know, it's just important that there are those of us on the planet who can be present for the ones who don't have it,
yeah,
but can get it, can
yes.
receive it.
Yes.
And that's the beauty of this world and this life is it that is. There are so many helpers on our planet today. And, you know, Fred Rogers, who was the on PBS and did the children's show.
Yes.
He would always say that his mother told him, no matter what happens in your life, always look for the helpers.
Yeah, that's great. Wow. Yes.
And that is it. You know, that's yes. really true. Because there are times mm-hmm. when each one of us needs someone who mm-hmm. will share with us something that is we're needing right mm-hmm. now and makes us even more willing to do that with others because yeah. we understand the value of it mm-hmm. Firsthand.
Yes.
And my mother was like that with me. So I had a good foundation with her.
Yeah, you did.
And when she left and went to work and I never saw her much, none of us did. But she was determined to buy the house and fix mm-hmm. it and put a new furnace in and take care of us yeah. that way. And that was her mission. You know, that was why she was doing what
was
she
her
was
purpose.
Doing.
Yeah. yeah.
But you know what? She did that double shift for 40 years.
Wow.
40 years. I mean, hello.
Yeah.
Wow. How do you do that? A woman who was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, who didn't miss a day of work, who was mm-hmm. never sick. I mean, hello.
You can't do it unless you have a purpose and yeah. you know it.
Well, but she she was a marvel to me
yeah.
that, she, you know, most people who had that were in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And totally unable to do anything. And she carried those trays up on her shoulder, the heavy trays, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
did.
With all that food on them, mm-hmm. and you have to bring them around right to the mm-hmm. table. And I would never be able to do that. So, you know, there are things that people can do that mm-hmm. some of us would
yes.
shrink at. And there are things that we do that others might shrink at.
Yeah. And in this moment, I want to honor you in context to being a mystical, masterful mother. Because for many years, I didn't understand. But now I do.
Yeah.
And the beauty and the wonder and the what I get to see and behold and be in the presence of every day with what Spacious Unknowing Network mm-hmm. really is touches me deeply.
Yeah.
Moves me deeply. It aspires me to be, to live this life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have you to thank for that.
Well, and I'm thankful that you decided to be in this life
with
me.
Yes. Yes.
So it's wonderful. I'm very thankful.
I am too.
Yeah. And
I mean, it's beyond being thankful. It goes beyond that. Because I have learned and I'm still learning. Every day is learning.
Mm-hmm.
But I have learned and understand the depth of love.
Ah, yes.
The depth of care.
Yeah.
That you've given me, and it's a gift beyond
yeah.
a gift. And it's helped me to understand the importance of living this kind of life.
Yeah. Yeah, because you had to learn to receive.
Yes.
And until somebody receives love, they don't know they're being loved.
No.
And that's the big one, you know, is being a good receiver.
Yes.
And there are so many beings that I meet who haven't yet learned the way to receive.
Yeah.
So they give and they do all these people-pleasing things, but they will not receive. For themselves.
Yep, that's true.
They won't allow anyone to do anything kind for them. They just
don't
can't
look for the helpers.
No, they don't. Well, that's a good way to bring it back to me. Yeah, that's the truth. And it's sad because I do bring it to their attention
yeah.
and share with them, you know, what mm-hmm. receiving feels like, looks
yes.
like, because it's important for them to learn
yeah.
to also receive. And when they do, oh, they're in heaven, you
yeah.
know, they love it
yes.
because they get what they were missing all these mm-hmm. years. And an open heart can receive.
Yes.
But closed down, no. people cannot. There's no place of receptivity. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes life happens and people do close down.
Yeah.
They shut down all their networks. They shut down everything and not realizing the harm it's going to cause them. And also, you know, the harm it may cause many other people in their wake. And so it's a really, you know, it takes a lot of courage to come into this way of life.
Yeah.
And I've realized that through other people.
Yeah.
Because I grew up in it and I lived it always. So when you live in something, you don't really realize even how to bring it to someone else.
Yes.
And it's, you know, important to learn mm-hmm. all the ways that people could use it.
Yes.
And be present in it
yes.
and find the treasure of it,
yeah.
which is really the truth.
It,
I say
it
this is our treasure chest. It, so everything's yeah, in our treasure chest.
That's very true. Very true.
And it is.
Yeah, we've come to the end of the show again.
Oh, okay.
I'd love to keep talking.
Yes, this well, is, we probably will after the
yes.
show. That's a commonplace thing
yes.
that happens.
Thank you so much for being with us. You have been listening to Spacious Unknowing Network. I'm JoJo Rose, here with Julie.
That's okay.
Go. Here with Julie O. Rose, the founder of Spacious Unknowing Network and the author of her upcoming book, Autobiography of a Mystical, Masterful Mother. Until next Monday, enjoy your week. Aloha.
Thank you for listening to the Spacious Unknowing Network, Sunshine for Your Soul,
with Julie O.
and JoJo Rose.
Join us again for life-affirming communication every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com so that you can bask in the rays of infinite love.
Access Soul Rhythm to tap into your real being for your heartbeat in the rhythm of your soul.
Feel it guide you to new horizons and unlimited infinite love. For more information about
Julio
and JoJo Rose,
visit spaciousunknowingnetwork.com. That's spaciousunknowingnetwork.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.